verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." At this particular time, we find the Lord at Caesarea Philippi with the 12 disciples. When we are first introduced to Simon Peter, you remember that he was on the shores of the Sea of Galilee as a fisherman. This was his occupation. This is how he made his livelihood, out on the sea catching fish and taking them to market. However, in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus came into this man's life, he made him a fisher of men. And in the reading I just read in your hearing, Jesus asked an important question. Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And when you look at Simon Peter's answer in verse 16, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What I'd like to do for just a moment is look at the transformation in the life of Peter and notice something about his confession and where it took place, and then make some application. The first thing I want you to recognize is that in Matthew 16, the eyes of the disciples are open. They recognize all of a sudden that they've been near somebody great, and they had not recognized it. It seems like it took them a while to open their eyes up to the fact that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. In spite of the many months they'd been with him, the many times they've heard him teach, the many miracles they had seen him perform, from the stilling of the storm to the walking on the water to the feeding of the 5,000, they had not yet come to proclaim he is the Son of God. Yet when Jesus asked the question, it was to open their eyes. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the prophets." He said, "But who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And notice that at that time, Peter opened his mouth. Now, Peter did not come to this conclusion by himself, but notice that he said that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." I want you to think about first their near greatness. They're close to greatness. They're close to the Son of the living God and didn't recognize it. The second thing I want you to notice is where they were. In verse 13, notice they're in Caesarea Philippi. This was a Gentile community. Part of the region, there is a cavern under a great mountainside. And if Danny and Jason and others go, they'll go up and see this mountainside. And in that mountainside, it's traditionally called Panias. It's now called Banias with a B. And it's said to be the birthplace of the false god Pan. And in earlier times, still, Baal worship had been practiced there. And it was there that the Greeks superseded Baal worship with the worship of Pan. And today, you can still see the little shrines that they carved out and cut out the rock face as a way to worship that false idol Pan. And they're still visible. And they date these little shrines before the time of Christ. So Jesus would have been able to see them. In fact, the business, he could have been standing beside this great rock when he had this moment with the disciples. And towering high above the disciples would have been the brand new temple in honor of Caesar, dedicated by Herod the Great. It was Herod's son Philip that enlarged it, and he named it after the emperor, so it became Caesarea Philippi, in honor of both of the leaders. And so here in this region, you have religions, a great mixture. You have some who are worshiping Pan. You've had Baal worship. The Jordan River runs right through there. And before them is this great rock face where they had little shrines to the god Pan. And it's here that Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And I want you to think about what Peter said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Underscore living. Not some rock, but the living God. And I want you to think about the importance of the question, who do you say that I am? On that day in Caesarea, the answers came back quick enough. Some say you're John the Baptist raised from the dead. Others claimed you're one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? That is the most important question in life. Who do you say that I am? And if you get it wrong, you're going to be wrong about everything that is truly important. And Simon Peter answered the question with conviction. And here is a hinge point in the New Testament. Either Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or he's a liar and a lunatic. He can't be Lord and be a liar. And when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter, notice that his name in verse 17, Jesus said, Simon Bar-Jonah, pebble, is what he's saying. In verse 18, he said, Peter, rock. Or if he's speaking in Aramaic, as we read in 1 Corinthians 1, Cephas, which means stone. Upon this rock, upon Peter, no, upon the truth that Jesus is the Son of the living God, he said, I'll build my church on that truth. The church will be built upon that. And just as Abram became Abraham and Jacob became Israel, Simon became Peter. And on the day of Pentecost, it was Peter and the others that stood up and preached this truth about the Christ. The one, he said, you crucified, he's made both Lord and Christ. Now I want to ask three questions for our time tonight. Do we see the greatness of God? One can be close to greatness and never recognize it. And so often we overlook the great because we're distracted by little things. We overlook the greatness of God and the majesty of God and the grandeur of God and His creation because we're distracted by little shiny objects that matter. Secondly, there are many false gods that people bow down to. And we need to beware lest we bow down to the wrong God that's not the true Son of God, the true living God. And third, who do you say, Jesus? It's a danger to answer the question wrong. Some have come up with a political Christ, and he is the answer to their political problems. Others have come up with a military Christ, while others in entertainment have come up with a superstar Christ, and it's all because they answer the question wrong. And in these days of postmodernism, some just make up the Jesus they want and do not follow the Jesus of the Bible. Who do you say that I am? Do you follow him and believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? If you believe he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you'll follow his words. You'll be baptized into his name. He said you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you follow his word that'll lead to heaven? Or have you convinced yourself it doesn't matter? Because I'll tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. No. It doesn't make all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in eternity. If he is the Son of God, follow him. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Do you believe it? If so, why don't you obey him as together we stand and sing?